Scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. You can find this on page 1505 of your Pew Bibles. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has its own trouble. It's a little close to my beard. I have a psalm to read. It may seem out of place given a theme of thanksgiving, but my heart would not let it go as I prayed and wrote this sermon. The first six verses of Psalm 137. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. On the willows there we hung up our lyres. For there our captors required of us songs, and our tormentors mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill. Let my tongue stick to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you, if I do not set Jerusalem above my highest joy. I will address the final three verses of the song, important and problematic verses, but I will start with the psalmist lamenting their exile. Their captors tormented them with demands of songs of praise to God after losing everything by their captors' hands. Be happy. Praise your God. Who cares about your suffering? Just praise God and sing songs of praise. As I wrote, I had a mental list of things weighing on the hearts of this congregation. Max and Mary passing. Lois and Dave entering hospice. Difficult changes that have happened and will happen. Looking forward to the future and what direction this congregation will take. And anxieties about how this congregation will survive. How do we sing the Lord's song in this foreign land? The foreign land being this broken creation we live on, separated from God. How do we answer the question, where is your God, when we suffer and struggle? Another question, how do we reconcile the command to give up anxiety about our food and our clothing when people have anxiety about food and clothing due to having none? When I chose the Matthew passage, I intended to look at worrying about not having fancy foods and dapper clothes, but something has gnawed at me, demanding I focus elsewhere instead of platitudes and trying to explain away problematic messages in Scripture. How do you reconcile the command to give up anxiety over having enough when some of God's most faithful will never have enough? How do you tell a starving person that they should not worry? How do you tell a thirsty person who has had their water forcibly taken away, or have to pay for poisoned and tainted water they cannot drink, that they should feel no anxiety over their thirst. How do you demand a naked person in an Indiana winter believe God will provide for them and everything will turn out okay? And in the same breath, how do you require these people who literally lack the basic elements required to live to express their gratitude in a season marked by gluttony and excess? I sat and thought about the sheer volume of food I ate this Thanksgiving, an amount that literally made me physically ill, and the amount of food from that meal that will end up spoiled and thrown away. I asked myself why, and I could not come up with an answer. I only felt more guilt about my participation and complacence in the pains of the world. How do we sing the Lord's song in this foreign land? The foreign land being a world that demands selfishness and punishes generosity. How do we answer the question, where is your God, when we have excess while others have nothing, and we revel in that excess? The last three verses of this psalm take a really nasty turn that should make your stomach turn and your heart ache. Verses 7 through 9. Remember, O Lord, against the Edomites, the day of Jerusalem, how they say, lay it bare, down to the foundations. O daughter of Babylon, doomed to be destroyed, blessed shall he be who repays you with what you have done to us. Blessed shall he be who takes your little ones and dashes them against the rock. Yes, the psalmist wants the babies of Babylon, the innocent babies of Babylon, to suffer horrific and violent death. The psalmist wants God to bash their innocent babies against rocks and cause as much suffering as possible to their Babylonian tormentors. This horrifies us, and it should, but it should not confuse us. We often pretend we do not understand this level of anger, and we automatically condemn it. We hear the anger that the oppressed express towards their oppressors, often with thoughts of violence and pain. And we condemn their expressions of anger despite having proof that God's own people did the exact same thing. And instead of seeing the pain of the oppressed and empathizing with it and working to end their oppression and heal their wounds, we demand they express their anger in palatable ways before we will consider and address their oppression. And we read the passages like the Matthew passage, and we either explain it away, telling hungry people everything is okay, while completely ignoring their pain. We see the problems and struggles within it and completely miss God's call. How does God provide for those who have nothing and need so much? Through us, the body of Christ. God calls us to feed them and clothe them. God calls us to break down systems that give us rich food and fancy clothes while others literally starve, thirst, and freeze around us. God provides food to hungry people through the work of God's followers. Jesus just assumes his followers will help the poor and the suffering while telling those followers to stop worrying about the desires of this world. How do we sing the Lord's song in this foreign land, the foreign land being a place where in our separation from God, we can easily and gladly participate in gluttony while people starve? Who is our God when our actions contribute to suffering and silence the oppressed? I must force myself to ask the question, where is your gratitude? My heart approached the sermon in concern and frustration. My mind wrote while exhausted and overworked, and I struggled to write a sermon of thanksgiving. My host this weekend tasked me with expressing my gratitude, and I struggled to find things to lift prayers of thanksgiving for. We can offer thanksgiving for things beyond this world, hope. We have hope in something beyond this creation and beyond our time here. We have hope in relief of pain and reunion with God. We have hope that this foreign land of a broken creation separated from God's intention will no longer cause pain when our Savior comes again. We have hope for something better. We praise God for that hope and we celebrate it, especially this time of year. But we cannot just let this world of suffering and darkness be. We can and we must, as servants of Christ and of God's children, make this world less the foreign land separated from God and more the creation God intended. We can tear down systems of oppression. We can notice the oppressed, and instead of condemning their expressions of anger that make us uncomfortable, and instead of taking offense when they point their finger vaguely in our direction, we can worry more about the oppression and suffering they experience. We can reduce poverty and hunger in our world. We can resist systems that give us too much and give others too little. We can publicly and loudly admonish those who build wealth by underpaying and overworking those who cannot afford to resist authority and desperately need the pittance they receive, forcing them to stay in exploitative jobs. We can feed the hungry as our resources allow, sacrificing our rich feast and material luxuries to do so. We can and we must. How do we sing the Lord's song in this foreign land? The foreign land of hunger, oppression, and darkness separated from God, by working to end those things and bringing this creation closer to God. Our hands cannot fix the brokenness of this world entirely, but they can fix much and refuse to accept this world as acceptable. In doing that, we sing the Lord's song. Do you express thanksgiving to God simply through words and platitudes or by working to fix this broken creation even a little bit? Do you respond to Christ with what benefits you, or do you sacrifice in response to Christ's sacrifice? Make your prayer of thanksgiving an offering of sacrifice, not an offering of platitudes and flowery words. Sing the Lord's song by bringing this creation closer to God. Amen.